I want to preach on give grace a chance. If anyone in the Bible understood the grace of God, it was the great Apostle Paul. The New Testament tells us in 1 Timothy 1 and 15 that he himself said that he was the chiefest of sinners. Amen. He started out the chief of sinners, and then from that extreme, he ends up, though, the chief of the apostles in the Bible. There's only one way that he made that transition from the chief of sinners all the way to the chief of the apostles. That one way is called grace. Amen. How many thanks God for grace? You sit here tonight in the house of God because of God's grace. We're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost because of the divine favor of God. None of us deserved it. The Bible said all have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. I heard this little illustration this week, and I mentioned it this morning, but it said if you ever see a turtle sitting on top of a fence post, it didn't get there by itself. Somebody put that turtle on top of that fence post. Amen. And can I tell you that is the meaning and definition of grace? Huh? Amen. Someone said us in the body of Christ, amen, and it wasn't ourselves. You look around here tonight and you look at a certain saint. You look at Brother John Ackerman or Brother Earl or Sister Lockhart or Sister Eloise or Brother Excel or Sister Lisa or Brother Morris or just different saints in the house. Amen. And you see them carrying their Bible tonight and you see their lives straightened out and past addictions are broken. Their names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'll tell you something. You know one thing. They did not get there by themselves. They got there, how? By one word, by the grace of God. Amen. I'll tell you something. I thank God for the grace of God. I did not deserve salvation. There's not a person in here under the sound of my voice that deserved salvation. We all, amen, was under the curse of sin. Having knows John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he what? That he gave his only begotten son. So when you see one another and you look at one another, you realize it was grace. Amen. I understand. Amen, brother. Kobe over here got saved a little over 3 years ago, and boy, I tell you what, we sure bragged on him a whole lot in camp meeting, didn't we? I mean, I think his head swelled a little bit through that meeting. We just bragged on him so much. Amen. And I leaned over and told Brother John one time or sometime through that meeting, sort of his situation and you know, sort of had to climb up the rough side of the mountain, if you will, to even come to church. But you know, even all that, Brother Kobe, just bragging on you and all that, the bottom line is, though, you didn't choose this way. Amen. God divinely chose you. It was the grace of God. Amen. If you ever see anybody singing in the choir, amen, just a while ago, we seen Sister Carrie singing, amen, and we seen Sister Letha singing, amen. I'll tell you something, you look at them, amen, the way they got there is one way, and it was the what? The grace of God. What we've been given in Jesus, church, amen, is what I call the grace package that can get us help, amen, and put us where we could never get ourselves, and that is into the body of Christ. Amen. Sometimes we have a tendency to forget just where we come from. John 15 and verse 19 says that he had not chosen, amen, I have not chosen him, but the Bible said, but he has chosen me, amen. I'm glad of that, aren't you? How many remembers when he spoke your name? I mean, how many remembers when he spoke your name? Amen. What was you doing? Was you doing good? Was you doing giving to the poor and feeding the poor and clothing and naked? Was you doing good? No. Probably you was living a life of sin. And let's just be really, just shuck the corn tonight and throw the cob to the devil. Probably, oh, I know some of you testify about where you came from, but there is some things you've never told, amen, publicly. It wouldn't be wisdom to tell some of the things that you and I did in sin. Can I hear an amen?
Amen. But the Bible said he chose us. Amen. One scripture, I think I read it today or yesterday, one that said Christ loved us even while we were what? Yet in our sin. I'll tell you something. Every now and then someone needs to shake us and remind us, amen, that it was by the grace of God that we are saved and not of our works. Huh? We ought to be overwhelmed by the grace of God. Amen. We ought to be broken by the grace of God. We ought to be shook up every now and then and say, God, I thank you for the grace of God. No wonder John Newton, the old slave trader, amen, wicked, vile, cussing sailor, amen, on that old ship found Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he heard the voice of God speak his name, and he put his pen and dipped it in the ink and wrote on the paper, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that done what? That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." Amen. And he realized it was the grace of God that changed his life. Amen. The estimate of any object is determined by what a person is willing to pay for that object. I'm trying to obey God with all of my heart here. Amen. When God looked at us, amen, God said silver and gold was not enough to pay the price for us. He said their worth is more than silver and gold. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, he said their worth is that of my son's only, amen, blood. The Bible said without the shedding of blood, there is what? No remission of sin. Jesus only can teach, amen, that you gotta speak in tongues. Amen. The Baptist church teach certain ways of getting saved. And the Church of Christ just said you got to be dipped in water. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe you got to repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's the blood plus nothing. I'm going to wear that out, amen, till Jesus comes. Amen. Because if the Bible said if you preach the truth, it will do what? It will set men free from their sin. Amen. If we ever wondered, amen, does God love us? Amen. Calvary is God's answer to that question. Do you understand tonight that you have great worth, amen, to God? Huh? Grace. I want to preach about grace. Amen. In Titus chapter 2, the Bible talks about grace that appeared unto all men, teaching us in to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Do you remember that text in Titus? Amen. Chapter 2, the Bible said, teaching us that, amen. The word that means in order that, amen, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present world. I believe, amen, the scripture here says, amen, that grace, when it is real in our heart, amen, it teaches you and I, amen, how to live. Godly living involves both the negative and the positive. Amen. Some churches, that's just a simple statement, but there is many churches who do not believe that statement that godly living involves negative and positive. They'll tell you that God really doesn't care how you live your life. You just believe in, confess Him, accept Him as Savior, and you'll be saved for the rest of your entire life. I'll tell you what this Bible here teaches. Amen. Teaches a little different. This Bible right here, amen, teaches, amen, that number one, you've got to what? Deny ungodliness. Amen. Ungodliness is whatever is unlike God. The word deny means to reject and refuse and disown and give up. Amen. The Bible said when grace comes into your heart and it brings you salvation, it will teach you that you'll have to reject ungodliness. Everything that's not like God. Amen. It will teach you to stop smoking and stop cussing and stop lying and stop committing adultery and stop committing fornication and stop sin instantly. Huh? I want to preach about grace. Give grace a chance. Amen. I'll tell you something. Amen. I didn't share this morning. I'm nobody and I am nothing. But I have put some prayer time into this service today and tonight. And I put a little time in this little message right here. And I felt like the Lord would have me to deal about grace tonight. In this text in Titus, you'll see grace, amen, is given in three wonderful ways. The Bible says in verse 11 that grace redeems us. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Grace redeems. redeems us. Amen. In verse 12, amen, it talks about grace reforming our lives. And then in verse 13, it talks about looking for that blessed hope. And it tells us about grace rewarding our lives. I'm glad that when I got saved right. Amen. I got saved right. I got covered by the blood of Jesus. And from that time forward, amen, the Lord began to deal with my heart, and grace began to teach me how to live my life. Amen. It told me to turn away from worldly lust. Amen. It told me to reject ungodliness. It told me, amen, how to live soberly, to be under self-control. Amen. To have prudence, to look down the road and make wise decisions today that is going to affect me tomorrow. Amen. It talked to me about restraint. Amen. Then the Bible said righteousness. Notice what he said in verse 12. Amen. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, number one, and then righteously. What's that? That means we are to do what is right at all times, at all costs, and at all and on all accounts. And then the last word is godly. That speaks of just simply being like Jesus. When we should do this? In this present world. The world here means this present age, the age that we are living in right now. Can I tell you, when nobody is doing right, amen, grace teaches you still to do right. I said, amen, amen. When everybody is doing wrong, amen, and they're saying it's right, it doesn't make it right, amen. But I'll tell you something, everybody, amen, that is saved and born again, grace will teach you to live godly in this present world. Amen. When I think about grace, the Bible talks about the Spirit of grace in Hebrews 10:29. The Bible talks about great grace in Acts 4:33. The Bible talks about grace and peace in 2 Peter 1:2. The Bible talks about abundant grace in 2 Corinthians 4:15. Even the Apostle Paul deals about grace in 2 Corinthians 12 when he prays three times, Brother Russell Harris, about the thorn of the flesh. And he asked God three different times, amen, to take away the throne, amen, the thorn, amen, a thorn of his flesh. Amen. But God spoke to him and said he wouldn't take it away. But he said, my grace is what? It's sufficient for thee. God said, I'm not going to remove it, Paul. Amen. Because I'm teaching you something. I'm allowing you to go through this darkness. They're treasures, he said, that's going to come out of this darkness. And the Apostle Paul later in his writing, amen, when he began to brag on God and glory in God, he said, this one thing that I glory, he gloried in his infirmities. Why? Because he realized that there was treasures that he learned, amen, through the dark times of his life. I want to preach about grace tonight. I mean, he's glad for grace. Huh? I'm glad for the grace of God. I'm glad to be saved. I'm saved through grace by faith. The scripture says in Ephesians, it's not of ourselves, lest any man should boast, but it's the grace of God. The scripture, wonderful example of grace, is found, amen, in John chapter 8. Amen, the famous story there. But there is a scripture that's found in St. John chapter 1 that says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. Amen. Then there's a scripture in John chapter 8 that paints such a vivid picture, praise saints. Amen, that paints such a vivid picture of the grace of God. Amen. It talks to us in John chapter 8, amen, about how a group of scribes and Pharisees, amen, they find this lady, amen, she is unnamed in the scripture, amen, but they bring this and drag this unnamed lady, amen, who the Bible tells us later, and we know at the end of the story, amen, that she was a harlot type woman, a very wicked woman, amen, and the Bible said these scribes and Pharisees bring, amen, this lady, amen, in the midst of where Jesus was. Several commentators that I looked said that there was probably several hundred people in the court, amen, where they dragged this woman, amen. Of course, we understand that their intention was to trap Jesus, amen, in his words. Amen, they wasn't concerned about the woman, amen, they just called her. Matter of fact, scripture actually teaches that both the woman and the man was to be brought, amen, and executed, amen, for the act of adultery, amen. But these scribes and Pharisees, they brought this woman. And they set her there in the midst, amen, right there in the middle of them, I can see and imagine in my mind as the crowd, amen, sort of hushes, and amen, and the woman is probably just scantily clothed, and, amen, and trying to probably cover her face, and amen, so guilty and so shameful that she's just there in rags and just shame and the guilt. Amen, I can just see these scribes and Pharisees as they're going to ask Jesus a question. There it is, and in a whisper, Brother Adam, but it says, Moses said and the law said that this woman, amen, should be stoned to death. Amen. Jesus, we caught her in the very act of adultery. The very act of adultery. Now I'm trying to describe to you about grace. It's one of the most amazing things. Amen. Grace. Amen. Sister Letha didn't have any idea, amen, what I was planning on doing. But if you notice through her song, she sung about grace. Amen. Sister Carrie didn't have no idea what I was planning on doing. But if you notice through her song, amen, she sung about grace. Amen. Sometimes we forget about grace once we become saved and we're under the blood and we're just living happy and holy and God's just blessed us. But I'll tell you something. If you ever come to God, amen, and you're black and you're scarred by sin, and you feel the touch of God, amen, just like this woman right here is fixing to do, then you, my friend, will know what grace really is. Notice the Bible here. As these men said, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his fingers wrote on the ground. Now stay with me. I can see, would you agree with me that I don't see this woman with maybe a couple hundred people there, Brother Excel. The scribes and Pharisees with their long robes, their hoods. I've seen pictures standing there, and then you got just a mixed multitude. Amen. I can't imagine her just standing there, just staring out into the all those other men and all those other women. I don't see her like that personally. I see a lady that is shameful. Amen. She realizes that death to her. Amen. She probably heard about Jesus, but she had never experienced Jesus. To her, probably in her heart, in her mind, she knew what the law said. She knew that she'd only felt like in her heart that she'd only be minutes away, amen, from stones being thrown at her until the last breath was taken from her body. Amen. I can see her with her head bowed low. Amen. Maybe just trying to cover with, if she did have a little piece of a cough, just trying to cover her face for the shame and the guilt. Amen. But all of a sudden, the Bible said that Jesus stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And we've heard a lot of preaching preached about, amen, what he wrote on the ground. I won't go there because I really don't think it's that just the pinpoint of this lesson in this text. But I want you to understand, I personally, as I read some this week and several hours studying through this little sermon, Thursday and so forth, and Saturday and early this morning, I've seen Jesus as he stooped down. Amen. And all of a sudden she hears what those men have said. Amen. She realizes that in Leviticus 20 and 20, she realizes what the law said. Amen. She can see those rocks and those man's hands. Amen. She can see the just the slurry like grin upon their face, the old smirky looking feeling in all their appearances. Amen. But all of a sudden she sees this master, this Lord. She calls him Lord in the story at the end. Amen. She sees him bow down. I don't know, but maybe he just looked at her. Maybe there was a little glimpse. Maybe, amen, there was something there. Amen. I'm sure, amen, her being caught in the act of adultery and knowing what the law said, it was probably just confusing to her just a little. Why didn't he say, yes, go ahead and cast the first stone? But he didn't do that. He stooped down and he got his hands dirty, writing on the ground. The old song said he reached way below the bottom for me that night. Huh? Oh, yes. And all of a sudden, amen, the Bible said that these men, as he ignored them, kept asking, Master, what about it? What about it? What you going to do? And all of a sudden he said, ye without sin, cast the first stone. Wow.
There they were, Brother Harris, rocks in their hand. Amen. Standing around in a circle, ready to pounce on her. Amen. With her condemnation. And all of a sudden, when Jesus said, "Ye without sin, cast the first stone." And the Bible said, from the eldest unto the least. Amen. Their conscience began to reminisce and make their memory come alive to the sins of their own life. And they began to walk away and drop their rocks. And all of a sudden, I can see as the outer crowd just sort of disperses. Amen. He just profounds them all. Amen. And next thing you know, he's there all alone with this woman that's guilty of everything that they said. Amen. What they said was right. The law did demand her death. Amen. But he stoops down there on the ground again the second time. And he writes down on the ground. Amen. And then when they hear that, they begin to walk away. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. All of a sudden, when everybody is gone, he stands up. The Bible said he lifted up himself. And he looks her in the face. I want you to realize this, that the one in the crowd that could have casted the first stone, he didn't have a stone to throw. He didn't have a rock to throw. Jesus said himself in John chapter 3 that he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, sometimes when a person falls to sin and they feel that guilt and that shame, there is a mind battle that some people never fight because they've never failed. They've got saved and thank God, and they've never turned their back on God. Amen. They've never stumbled to such a low. But there has been those, amen, that I've heard about, I've seen about. Amen. I've seen people shake. I remember being in a revival at our church, amen, in Hazard, Kentucky, and a backslider comes, amen. And he prays. He's been backslid for 20 some years. Nobody could get him to come to church, but I'd worked on him for several months. And he come to revival. And I never will forget, out of 22 years, listen, amen, to me preaching, I've never seen anybody pray as hard as that man, amen, had. I do not know the depth of his sin, amen, but I want to tell you, when he knelt down there, amen, to pray through the old time salvation, his entire body shook. Amen. You didn't have to beat him on the back and holler, "Come on." You didn't have to say, "Brother, pray. Amen. You didn't have to say anything. I mean, he was screaming to the top of his lungs. He was actually beaten. He was nailed at a pew. And I remember he was beating the pew so hard, dust was flying off of the pew. Amen. What was it? Amen. He knew. He had felt grace. Amen. No doubt he had stood off for 20 some years. But that day, that service, when he felt God and he heard the voice of God call his name one more time, amen, he prayed through. There's something about the grace of God. I can't explain it. Amen. When folks look at other folks and say, "Man, their life is a mess. Their life's in ruins. They've ruined their entire life. What a waste." Amen. But Jesus stood there this day. Amen. And all the other crowd, the Pharisees, the scribes, amen, wanted to throw a rock. Amen. And kill her and destroy her. But here was the Son of God. The law said to stone her. Jesus, even though he hadn't died on Calvary then, and it wasn't in the grace dispensation then, stepped up to her. Amen. And he had no rocks to throw. Wow. And he asked her, "Where's her accusers?" And she said, "I don't have any, Lord." And he said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." I'll tell you, you don't understand the power of guilt and shame when it takes a hold of a person's life. I've seen people in church all across the country, and people I've pastored, I've seen them go from being so tender that the slightest move of the Spirit, they would come to the altar. But then I've seen them, once sin takes a hold of their life and shame gets a hold of their life, they act tough. They try to act macho. Amen. But that shame and that guilt, amen, keeps them away. And you can have the most powerful, awesome, Holy Ghost move of God in a service. And they'll sit there and won't move. And you'll realize that, man, a year or two, I seen you when you were so tender, but now something's happened. Amen. And you're fearful, but it's that sin and that shame and that guilt. But can I tell you, amen, tonight, that Jesus Christ doesn't have a rock to throw tonight. Amen. It is not God's will that any should perish. His will, amen, is to give you grace. Oh, with a God that God would help me to preach. It is His will to give you grace. There was a pastor in Texas who was in a revival. They had a revival in their church, and several folks had got saved. And there was a prostitute came one night. She was very known to be a very vile lady. I mean, 100% prostitute. They said, he said, when she started coming up the aisle, I guess the preacher was, the pastor was sort of giving the altar call still, and he was talking about how that he can cleanse you, and how that he can touch you, and how he can make you whole. And as she was walking to the altar, amen, she looked up at him, and with tears streaming down her face, she looked at the preacher as he's still giving the altar call about it. God can touch and God can help you. And she said, preacher, she said, I'll be the worst He's ever touched. But the Holy Ghost moved upon the pastor with a quick response. And all of a sudden he looked at her and said, he'll be the best you've ever had. I don't know about you, but I have found him to be the best that I've ever had. I have found him to be such a friend. Amen. When friends turned their back on me, I have failed at times. I'm not talking about adultery, Brother Adam. I've never committed adultery by the help of God. Amen. But I have failed a few times. I have felt like a worm. I have felt like crawling under a rock. I have felt like running like Adam and Eve away from God because of the shame. Does anybody understand anybody else? But then all of a sudden, when you feel that presence of God and the grace come upon you, you got to say, God, why do you even deal with me? Why do you even still love me? I'm such a failure, God. I'm such a failure. I don't understand, God, how you can love me over and over. I have failed so many times. Brother Kobe, I remember when I was a teenage boy. I wasn't a preacher then. I wasn't a pastor then. I wasn't a mature Christian. I stumbled a whole bunch. I wish I could tell you I got saved. I prayed 3 hours a day and read 5 chapters a day in the Bible, read fasted 3 days a week, never missed a day paying my tithe. I wish I could tell you that, but I can't tell you that. I could tell you, though, I stumbled some. Huh? I could say I made some bad mistakes. And I'll tell you, I remember feeling and asking God, why do you even love me? I've asked you to forgive me, and the devil would tell me, man, all you do every time you get down to pray is repent. Probably never heard of that, have you, Brother Kobe? Huh? I never faced that, have you, Kobe? Never heard the devil tell you that, Kobe? All you do is repent. All you do is repent. Has anybody else ever heard the devil tell you, all you can do is repent? And I never forget. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He's just come to me. But I remember one time when the devil just fought my mind, torment my mind, saying, all you do is repent. And I remember saying, if I had to repent every day, amen, I'd go to heaven. If I just got to ask God to forgive me every day, devil, you're not lying to me. I'm not going to turn my back on God. I know what sin has done. I've seen it in my brothers. I've seen it in my real mother. I've seen it in my own family. I've seen it in my friends. I'm not turning back. And you know what? I wasn't running then, Brother Daniel. I may not have been on top of the mountain, but I tell you what I did. I took one day at a time. I put one step in front of the other. Amen. Sometimes I was low, but I never looked back. I said I never looked back. Did I get discouraged? Yes, but I never looked back. I kept my hand on the plow. Let your hands of love here. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you again, God say, hey, I got grace. Some of you thought like you might would come to church and get rocked. But no, this ain't a rock throwing church.
Are y'all with me? This ain't a rock. Yeah, we're holiness, but we ain't stupid. Amen. We know people stumble. We know people fall. We ain't a rock-throwing church. We're a church. And brother, amen, brother. James already spoke about, tell that preacher he can come here. I like that attitude, brother James. Tell the fallen man can come here. Amen. Tell the one that's down and out can come here. Tell the one that's made some mistakes that they didn't want to tell anybody. They made some mistakes that they feel shame and they feel guilty. Amen. I was just praying, asking God about some things. I said, Lord, why won't they come? Why won't they pray through? I just felt like the Lord dealt with me and said, they're so full of shame. They're so full of guilt. And I remember the Lord speaking to my heart and said, don't you remember when you feel like that? You got to understand something. Huh? When Adam and Eve sinned, they ran from God, not to God. That's the insanity of sin. When you let sin take control of your life, huh? That prodigal son ran far to that far country, as far away from he could have that father. But there come a time we got as low could get, huh? And he came to himself, and he thought about his father. And he looked at his own self, and he thought about the Father's house, and he realized his own plight, and he thought about the Father's house, and he made his way back home. Amen. Oh, amen. I've been there. I can sort of see him just sort of with his head bowed low and walking up the old dusty trail. But oh, that scripture that says when that father saw him, huh? Amen. He didn't say, I told you, come back crawling. No. I've never had God to tell me that. But I have felt the grace of God. Amen. Mercy came running. The Father. You know what I read today? I didn't know this, but it said Eastern men of Bible times, their elder Eastern men very seldom ran. And one commentator I read today about this text, even after I preached this morning, said this, that said no doubt it could have been that there was others there on the road, and they'd have realized the man had a reputation. The elder son knew, amen, that this younger son had wasted his substance with harlots and riot to live in harlots there means prostitutes, amen. It could have been that they'd have stoned him as he's coming up the drive, one commentator said, but the father said if they stone him, they're going to have to hit me too, because I want to get to him as fast as I can. I want to tell you that the grace of God is here to run. Amen to you. He's standing here with open arms. He's waiting on you to make a step toward God, and you'll find the grace of God running towards you. Let your hands worship God. Come to piano, girls. Please. Oh. Oh, I've missed some meals for this service. I'm nobody. I've missed some meals for this service. You don't have rocks, but he's got grace. He's got grace. He's got grace. He's got grace. Worship the Lord, saints. That prostitute said, preacher, I'll be the worst he's ever touched. But the preacher said, but he'll be the best you've ever had. Oh, God. What was it when that lady got saved in Tennessee? Goes to Brother Jamie's church now. Got saved in revival we had, and she prayed about an hour, and Pastor Esther testified, Brother Sheeny fell, and when she stood, I'll never forget what she said. She didn't know how to properly testify and give you all the vows and the thes and the King James Version testimony, you know. She said, I just feel like I took a bath on the inside. That's all she said. But I knew. She was just saying, I felt grace. Huh? You remember, that's just why. We was at Brother Shanefield's the other night. And what was his name? Philip. That prayed. And Brother Steve asked him to testify. You could tell he didn't know the proper way, Brother Adam, the King James Version, the way to testify. But he just said, I felt good all over. Something like that, wasn't it? Remember that? I just felt good all over. That's grace. Grace. Where are you at tonight? Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I've shared this little message. I've tried to obey you, Lord. This congregation has been very merciful to me tonight. But I'm just trying to obey you. And I felt like you spoke to me this week, Lord, in prayer. And said, I want you to preach on grace one more time. I want you to preach on my grace. He'll pull you through, friend. He'll help you if you want help. He'll help you if you want help.
Of the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Ghost use you. Oh, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, grace. He don't have rocks tonight, but he's got grace. Oh, God. Don't let the shame and the guilt keep you away. He's got grace. Let's pray, church. Oh, Spirit of God. Oh, God. The Holy Ghost gave you an invitation. What are you going to do? He told the woman, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more.
Think of where I've been.
Oh, yes.
And where you brought me from.
Sing.
And how I found in him.
Come on, church.
The strength to overcome. I wouldn't want to live one single minute.
Oh, yes, yes.
Without Jesus in it. When I look around, I have no place to run. What about His grace?
Come on.
What about how He
came? He don't have a rock tonight.
What about the blood He shed on Calvary?
He's got grace.
That washed His sin away. Think of all He's done.
You'll turn to Him with all of your heart.
And how He helped you over.
He can help you tonight.
How could we ever run away? What about His grace? What about His grace? What about how He came? What about the blood He shed on Calvary? And what washes sin away. Think of all He's done and how He helped us overcome. How could we ever run away?
Come on, come on, come
what
on.
About His
I'll tell you
grace?
The shame and the guilt can get so heavy.
Presence,
I said the guilt and the shame could get so heavy.
Found His mercy
times you can't even cry.
Shade from His throne and glory.
My God.
To your wounded
take
self.
A hold of His hand.
How could you ever
he
turn
have a rock
back on Jesus?
He's got grace.
When He died to free
us. He's got grace. He's got grace. Come on.
Things.
He don't have a rock
before
tonight.
You go.
He's offering
what
the grace.
About how
He's
he
offering the grace.
What about the blood He shed on Calvary that washes sins away? Think of all He's done.
Come on, come on.
Now He helped us overcome. How could we ever run
come
away?
On. Come on, I'll tell you when the blood of Jesus forgives you of your sin. It's just
what
like you have never sinned.
Grace?
You can be set free tonight.
What
justified by the grace of God.
Came?
Just as if
what
you've never sinned. Right here in this service.
Calvary,
right here in this altar call.
And washes sin away.
I'm sorry,
think
God.
Of all He's done.
Oh, yes, yes.
Now He helped us overcome. How
come
could
on.
We ever rise?
He stood down that day and wrote in the sand, wrote in the dirt.
Grace?
Amen. He come down. He stooped down
when
in this
I
service
tonight.
Amen.
Been,
just to share with you the good news. You can be set
from,
free from your sin.
And how I
your
found
life can
his
be changed. Come on, hold
strength to overcome. I wouldn't want to live one single minute.
Come on.
Without Jesus.
Come on, church. We need somebody to plead the blood.
When I look
hallelujah,
around,
hallelujah.
I have no place
I plead the
to
blood.
Run.
I plead the blood. I plead the blood over
what
their life. I plead the blood
grace?
Of Jesus Christ. Satan,
what
you have no control.
How he
amen. We're praying. We're pleading
what
the blood
the
of Jesus Christ. Break every curse of this sin. Break every power of hell. Break every spirit, every demon hold of hell, God. And let the blood of
and
Jesus
now he helped us overcome. How could we ever run away?
My God. My
what
God.
About His grace?
Good Lord.
What
give
about
grace a
His
grace? Give grace a
what about how He came? What about the blood He shed on Calvary and washed His sin away? Think of all He's done and how He helped us over.